High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson here with Tolliver. And Tolliver, are you ready for Trump Biden 2 Lost in New York?
You know, I'm so ready, but I've got to say no sequel is ever better than the original. I don't know, man. I'm nervous.
Trump Biden 2 Back in the Habit.
Absolutely. Terminator 3.
So many options.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here we are. After the Georgia primaries, the two major contenders for this year's presidential election are set. Yet again, we're looking at a contest between former President Donald Trump on the Republican side and President Joe Biden on the Democratic side. But there is also a somewhat crowded field of third-party options this year. There's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., mm-hmm. there's Cornel West and Jill Stein on the left. On the right, the Libertarian Party will choose its presidential candidate soon, and there could be a candidate from the group No Labels. But do any of these candidates actually have a shot at winning the presidency, or will they be potential spoilers? People who might siphon off just enough votes to throw the election to one of the two major party candidates. We're going to talk about that this hour. But first, last week, we asked you what your State of the Union is. And a lot of you based your responses on the state of the economy. Here is what one listener, just one, had to say.
My name is Jack from Tennessee. And as far as the economy, I know that it's not super great. But, I mean, let's look at this. I mean, did we forget that Trump started a trade war and put, like, what was it, 25% tariff on Chinese goods? Did that not kick off inflation right there? And hasn't everything since then been kind of reactionary? Or am I just crazy? Either way, I mean, I understand that the economy is like a train. You know, it doesn't start moving very fast. It doesn't stop on a dime. You know, it takes actions and a long time for those actions to, you know, make a change. I feel that we're doing better in a sense, but at the same time, it's not super great. But it could definitely be worse.
Well, big thanks to everyone who called in last week. So now to our question this hour. Is it time for a strong third-party candidate in America, or a third-party candidate's nothing more than spoilers? Tolliver, how can people reach us?
You can call us at 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353, or write in at listentothemiddle.com.
So now let's meet our panel. Joining us from the WBHM studios in Birmingham, Alabama, former Alabama Senator Doug Jones. Doug Jones, welcome to The Middle.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's great to be with you tonight. Appreciate it.
And from the WUWM studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Dr. Julia Azari, political science professor at Marquette University. Professor Azari, welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
Well, and before we get to the calls, let me just ask each of you some questions. Professor, a recent Reuters Ipsos poll found 67% of respondents said they are tired of seeing the same candidates in the presidential elections and want someone new. Is 2024, in your view, the year when a third party candidate could actually have a shot at the presidency?
I mean, this is that's a really tall order for a third party candidate to have a shot at the presidency. And you've got to win, of course, a majority in the Electoral College to get to that point. I don't think that's very likely, but it is the case that third parties tend to be the way that people express their dissatisfaction with their mainstream options, and that could be a phenomenon in 2024.
And Senator Jones, I mean, you were in the Senate between 2018 and 2021 when there was a lot of dysfunction in our two-party system. You saw it up close and personal. It's arguably worse now. Is it reasonable, do you think, for Americans to want other options?
Is it reasonable to want other options? Sure. It's always reasonable to want other options. The question is that option got a snowball's chance in hell of winning? And they don't. A third party has an independent candidate has absolutely no chance. It's pie in the sky. As the professor said, this is it's a winner-take-all kind of thing when you're talking about the electoral votes in every state. It's not proportional. It is winner-take-all in every state except Maine and Nebraska. And so with a winner-take-all for electors in the Electoral College, you got to get 270 mm-hmm. electoral votes to win, and it can't be done. Now, I don't even think these independents and third parties may not even be on enough ballots in enough states to combine if they won every state to get 270. But it's just in today's world, and Jeremy and the professor teaches this. She knows better than I do. Historically, there have been parties that come and go. But for the last 150 years or so, America has been Democrats and Republicans. And it's been a two-party system for a couple hundred years. It's going to remain that way. Our system, to me, is set up that way. And that's why no one else can win.
Well, and Professor Azari, you know, Doug Jones just brought up the Electoral College. There are a lot of things that just make it very difficult for a third party. The system is almost stacked against a third party making it happen, including ballot access.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a couple components to this problem, right? On the one hand, we have as the former senator pointed out, a lot of winner-take-all elements to our system that make it really difficult for multiple parties to kind of sustain themselves. The other thing I would note, though, is, of course, it's really difficult to win the presidency. Of course, the two parties control ballot access, and in many states, it's difficult to get on the ballot. But the other piece of that is that the presidency is a tough place to start. That has tended to historically been the place where third party movements have been able to recruit kind of a charismatic or well-known candidate or somebody who's breaking off from one of the two major parties mm-hmm. because of some very specific policy-oriented frustration. And so it makes sense that the presidency would be sort of a place to launch that protest candidacy. But if you wanted to really see more choice and more flexibility in the party system, the place to do it is locally. And that's a place where it would be possible, I think, for multiple parties potentially to sustain themselves mm-hmm. Over time. But the presidency, it's a very high stakes contest, and it has a lot of moving parts. You have to run successfully in a lot of states, gain ballot access in a lot of states. It's just a very difficult kind of campaign to pull off.
Let's get to the phones because we've got some calls coming in. Basil is joining us from Houston, Texas. Welcome to the middle. Go ahead. What do you think?
I think we desperately need a third candidate right now. It's the only way for this country not to end up like every other great empire falling apart. I've lived about 20 years of my life in Syria before I came to the United States. Obviously, I left because of the war. And the politics that I'm seeing right now, this rhetoric, politicized rhetoric, mm-hmm. is what I saw in the Middle East. And so the fact that in 2016, the options were either Trump or Hillary Clinton, and we already had Bill Clinton serve before as president, so where we're seeing this family type of presidential candidates mm-hmm. is what disturbs me.
And are you worried at all, though, about the idea of a third-party candidate being a spoiler, Basil?
Honestly, spoiling what? Because everybody is set up. Nobody wants Trump versus Biden. Everybody wants somebody new. The fact that we can't get somebody new is what the spoiler is. We already know that it's going to be Trump versus Biden. because of the way the system is set up, and whoever wins is going to be a loss for the country, for the people. Nobody wants neither Trump nor Biden. Right. Why can't we get somebody new? Does it have to escalate? Do people have to go riot and just to get what they want?
Basil, thank you so much for that call. Let me take that to Senator Jones.
Well, I disagree with him on the very front end with nobody wants somebody. I mean, Joe Biden had an incredible support among Democrats. You know, all of these polls that people hear, Jeremy, are saying, would you consider a third party? Would you consider, I'm not real happy with, are you really happy with these folks? Well, okay, I'll give them that. Joe Biden is not the young, spry self that he used to be when I first met him 40-something years ago. But the fact of the matter is that Democrats overwhelmingly put him in where he is. And the fact is that a lot of people could have had some choices. They did have choices in the Republican primary, but they chose Donald Trump. There were any number of people that they could have come out to vote for, and they didn't. So I understand how people feel. I get that. But at the end of the day, I think that people will gravitate back toward their respective positions. And maybe the country does want somebody and new, but that's not going to be this year. And that's the hand we're dealt. And I don't think any third party, including Basil was concerned about the family. We've got a Kennedy in there. They've just been as much as anybody. This is not going to be the year.
What do you think, Professor? And by the way, speaking of the Kennedy in there, Robert F. Kennedy, he's polling in some places, you know, 15% of the polls. And many people think that's just because of his name recognition.
That's probably true. I think name recognition is a big part of it. And that actually speaks to some of the dynamics that the caller is talking about here, about having political families, about the fact that even if, and I actually agree with Senator Jones that Biden and Trump are both pretty popular among the partisans of their respective parties. And I know that that's not the typical narrative that we hear, but I've sort of looked into these polls and that's pretty much the case.
That they're doing well. They're doing well in their primaries among Democrats for Biden and Republicans for Trump.
They are. Yeah. And also, if you look at their approval and favorability within their party. So, but, you know, nevertheless, right. Why wasn't there more contestation? Why isn't it easier to contest an incumbent president? That really gets at, I think, some dynamics in our system where it takes a really long time, a lot of money, a lot of name recognition to win. And so I do think, even though I think it's not very realistic that a third party candidate is going to win the presidency this year or anytime soon, I think that it's important to talk about these dynamics because it is getting at real aspects of our political system that do seem kind of the word that academics like to use is ossified, right? They're difficult to change.
You know, Tolliver, if you look back over the last 100 years, there have been three somewhat successful third party candidates, most recently back in 1992.
Yeah, in 1992, Ross Perot ran for the presidency. He ran again in 1996 as an independent candidate. And here he is addressing a crowd of supporters during his 1996 campaign.
Do you want a government that comes at you from Washington, or do you want a government that comes from you? Okay. Who do the people in Washington work for? Who pays their salaries?
I couldn't really tell what they were saying. It's just like
I know it's a little hard to hear the response from the crowd.
Perot got almost 20% of the popular vote in 1992, meaning Bill Clinton was able to win the presidency with just 43% of the popular vote.
Wow. And that was in 1992. It feels like it was just yesterday.
I was six.
Well, we will be right back with more of The Middle in a moment.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High five.
High five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just tuning in, The Middle is a national call-in show. We're focused on elevating voices from the middle, geographically, politically, and philosophically, or maybe you just want to meet in the middle. This hour, we're asking, is it time for a strong third-party option in American politics, or are third parties just spoilers?
You can call us with your thoughts at 844-4-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also write to us at listentothemiddle.com or on social media.
I'm joined by former Alabama Senator Doug Jones, a Democrat, and political scientist Julia Azari at Marquette University. And the phones are lighting up, so let's go to Robert, who is outside Greensboro, North Carolina. Robert, welcome to The Middle. Go ahead.
Hey there. I just wanted to say thank you so much for this show. When I heard the promo earlier, I got really psyched and I actually canceled my plans.
Wow.
To listen. But I've been an independent my whole life, and I've wanted a mainstream third party forever. And all I was going to say is I think the things that it's going to take, in my opinion, is media. You guys are the first media pretty much that I've heard, like, No Labels announced they're going to, you know, they made their big decision, they're going to run a candidate, and it barely made the news. I told my mom, she watches TV all the time, and she'd never even heard of No Labels, you know, which is pretty crazy, the lack of media coverage.
But they haven't found a candidate yet, to be clear. They have not found a candidate for No Labels yet, somebody who will agree to run on that ticket.
Right, but they did announce that 100% for sure that they are going to put forth candidates. And what I understand, I could be wrong, but within the next 2 weeks that they're going to announce both a president and vice president together is what the way I understand it. But just a real quick, lastly, I just wanted to say it's going to take independents. You know, we outnumber Democrats and Republicans, though, you know, the media never tells you that. But we have to coalesce around the candidates. If we have a splinter group that wants Nikki Haley, a splinter group that wants Robert Kennedy, you know, obviously it's not going to work. My question to you guys is, how does No Labels or anybody else at this point make sure that they're on every state ballot this year? Because I know they're, you know, the mainstream parties are going to be fighting that.
Robert, thank you for that call. I'm going to take that to the professor because it gets to the issue of ballot access. I mean, No Labels, I think right now is on something like 13 ballots, not a lot of swing states in there either. But how do they get on ballots if they want to be on ballots and if they actually get a candidate at some point?
That's going to be a different answer in 50 different states, actually 51 with the District of Columbia. And I don't know the ballot access rules off the top of my head in all 51. So there will be some states where they are and some where they aren't. And it's pretty late in the game. So that's if they don't have it in the works. I mean, this is one of the challenges of gaining access as a minor party is you have to navigate all those different rules. And it's true that the major parties in some states will have made that ballot access different and difficult. Not everywhere.
Let's go to Lori in Boulder, Colorado. Lori, welcome to The Middle. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I am against having a third party this coming year because I unfortunately voted for John Anderson back a while ago and deprived Jimmy Carter of being reelected. And that ushered in the era of Ronald Reagan. So I really regret my vote back then.
Wow.
And so I think a third party would be disastrous for half of the country.
Lori, thank you. I'll take that to Senator Jones. Senator Jones, you know, this is that's interesting to hear Lori talk about her regret about a vote for a third party, back in 1980. But what about, you know, do you blame Ralph Nader for George W. Bush winning in 2000? Do you blame Jill Stein
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
You do.
Both of those. Absolutely. You look at the number of votes that Nader drew from. He drew from Al Gore. Al Gore barely lost the presidency just because of the state of Florida. And I think Nader got over 500,000 votes. And Gore lost by a handful. The same is true in 2016. And I've got those numbers, Jeremy. I mean, you look at the six swing states in 2016. Donald Trump carried all of them by very small percentages. And the third party vote in those states, and it Jill Stein, but also Gary Johnson, if you remember correctly, was anywhere from 3.5% to like 5% in each of those six states. In 2020, that vote was down to less than 1.5%. The much fewer third party votes, and Joe Biden won all of those six states.
Professor, so, this is your trusty DJ Tolliver. So we're talking about enthusiasm a lot this election, or lack thereof. Is there any evidence to show that if voting was compulsory, that a third-party candidate will be more likely to be elected?
I don't know of any. It's possible if we had compulsory voting that the parties would look a lot different. But we still – the thing that really drives the two-party system is the winner-take-all electoral system. So, it's possible that we would have more movement in the parties, that the parties would be really different from decade to decade, or just they would be more representative of the concerns of young people or of other groups of people that don't vote it at higher rates. But it's really that it's to give the boring political science answer. It really is the structure that drives the two-party problem or the two-party phenomenon.
Let's go to Harry in Missouri City, Texas, a place I have not heard of. But welcome, Harry, to the middle, and let us know, what do you think about a third party?
Hello. Yeah, I've called the show before. I talked about Donald Trump being elected again when you had a show on Donald Trump about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
But I think there should be ranked choice. I think there should be ranked choice voting. I think Congress, I think the Senate and the House need to at some point look at getting a strong third party on the ballot. So people have that to choose from, because me, I'm an independent now. I used to vote Democrat, but I don't like Joe Biden's handling of Gaza with Israel and the Judean people, and I don't like Donald Trump getting back in there. I think he's a criminal, as I talked about.
So what are you
going to
do this year, Harry? Who are you going to vote for?
I'm voting for Dr. Cornel West. I already voted for him in the primary. Because even though I live in Missouri City, Texas, I'm still registered in California. So I voted on my absentee ballot and wrote in Dr. Cornel West. And if he's on the ballot again for the general, I'll be voting for him again. But I just think you should vote your conscience. If you don't like the Republican or the Democrats' politics or policies, I think people should vote their conscience. They should go for who they strongly believe in, who can run the country. And if that's a third party person, then they should go ahead and vote for them. And
Harry, let me take that to Doug Jones. Senator Jones, what do you say to people like Harry who clearly are on the left but want to vote for a Cornel West because of something like Gaza? There's a lot of them.
You know, look, I agree with that. But I think that at the end of the day, a vote of conscience, you got to understand what your vote is actually going to do. Is it just going to be a statement? Okay, that's fine. And I appreciate that. I absolutely do. And I think people have traditionally voted their conscience. Unfortunately, they voted their conscience when they voted for George Wallace and Strom Thurmond in a different way. But the fact of the matter is that when you vote that conscience, you also have to consider what are the consequences of your vote. All votes have some consequences. And then in this election, a vote from somebody that we just heard from, who is generally more progressive on the left, If that goes anywhere other than Joe Biden, that is a vote for Donald Trump because of the winner-take-all state elections that we have. If it's winner-take-all, you are taking away a vote, and you're essentially giving it to somebody else. And I think that that's really important for people to understand and remember. It is great to stand up and stand and be counted that way. But at the end of the day, you have to look, what is the unintended consequence of your vote? That's when we get into this spoiler thing that I believe that most of these third-party candidates, if not all of them, will be a spoiler in favor of Donald Trump, especially in those battleground states.
Professor Azari, this is we've heard about winner take all a few times. I can't remember those words being in the Constitution. Where did the winner take all system come? Why do we use that?
we have single member districts that elect our congressional districts. I mean, we want to talk about the Constitution. The Constitution does not use single member districts or winner take all. It does lay out the sort of idea about what congressional districts should look like. It sort of specifies, you know, how large they should be and within some parameters. And it sets up two senators per state. And it does set up the Electoral College. It doesn't say that every state has to be winner take all. And as the senator pointed out, not every state is. But those are just sort of the way the system has evolved over time. We don't have a system where we have multi-member districts. So that's what I'm getting wonky here, but you asked. So some countries have a system where you might have a district like, say, where I'm at in the state of Wisconsin. You've got 8 congressional seats. And so the party that gets some percentage of the vote gets 60% of the vote, gets 60% of the seats. That means a smaller party that can get 10% of the vote maybe can get, you know, 10% of the seats, or can get one seat or whatever. We don't have that. So if you get 10% of the vote, you get 0% of the seats because every district elects one member. And in the case of the Senate, of course, it's one member elected at a time. So that's kind of how that works. I hope that's a good on the fly explanation. Yeah.
Thank you for that constitutional explanation. Let's go to Taryn, who's in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Taryn. What do you think? Should there be a strong third party?
Hi. You know, I really believe that a third party candidate and third party parties are necessary at this point, especially in local elections, especially in state elections. And I think those types of groundworks of actual parties that can truly do work, much more so than a presidential candidate can, being able to direct that information and form proper coalitions with people is necessary to help us continue to operate this democracy and continue to thrive and make sure that we're happy and healthy. And I think part of that, too, is, you know, we need to really update how our elections run. I believe the Electoral College should be abolished. And I think proportional voting is necessary, especially for states like Utah, where we have a heavy, you know, conservative Republican demographic. And you also have very liberal cities that separate themselves, much like with Texas and Austin. It's necessary to make sure that those people's voices are also heard, as well as the people that you know, live in rural Wisconsin, and those people's voices matter as well.
All right, Taryn, thank you so much. We've got it. And I'm going to go to Jerry, who's in Long Island, New York. Jerry, what do you think? Should there be a third party this year, a strong third party?
No, absolutely not. Two reasons. First reason, Donald Trump is an existential threat to the country and also to the planet. So because he's in the race, no way. But secondarily, I think they should be forced to win seats in Congress. I don't think any third party should be allowed on the ballot for a presidential candidate until they win 10% of the seats in the House and 10% of the seats in the Senate. I believe in building a third party from the ground up, not from the top down. So let them contest races in the Senate and the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. And when they get 10% in both chambers of Congress, then let them get on the ballot in a presidential race.
Interesting idea. You've thought about this, Jerry. Thank you for that call. Mm-hmm. Doug Jones, what do you say to people? It's clear that there are a lot of listeners calling in who say, I want a third party. And even if they do want a third party, they might not want one this year.
Well, I think that that's an important distinction. First of all, the last two callers are absolutely right about a number of things, and it was consistent with what the professor said earlier. A third party is welcome on the state and local level. They need to build up. They need to work as a real party instead of just all of a sudden having somebody at the top of a ticket that's really not a ticket. It's just two candidates. And how in the world are they going to even govern if they were to get elected? It's going to be impossible. And so I think building that up is really, I think, very strong. And that's what I would basically argue. I just don't think that right now, and I think the last caller said it best, and again, I am unabashedly biased here, but I agree with the caller about this year. This is not the time to take a chance on that. This is not the time when democracy is more at stake on this election than it has been since the Civil War. This is the time to stick with where you are and who is best to carry forward the democratic ideals, the democracy that we've enjoyed in this country for so long. And I think that I certainly agree with the last caller about former President Trump being an existential threat to democracy in this country.
Tolliver, some messages are coming in online.
Absolutely. Cody writes, it has always been time for a strong third party. The lesser of two evils mentality has been hurting us politically since we first closed ranks behind just two parties.
So, Professor, what about that? It's sort of the if not now, when? And we just heard a caller say that they wanted to the third party to be built up first. But when is that going to happen?
I don't know when that's going to happen. I mean, I think one of the callers a few minutes ago made an excellent point, which is that there needs to be some coalescing happening. And I think that's been kind of the challenge with these third party movements. People kind of say, well, I want more choices. But ultimately, the act of voting isn't just about having a choice. It's also about once you've expressed that choice, that the people you voted for being able to do something for you. And that's always going to involve a coalition. So if it's not the lesser of two evils, it's going to be the lesser of three or four evils in the sense that you're always going to have to make some kind of compromise. That being said, I think there are movements on the ground. The Tea Party movement in the last decade was such a movement to move the Republican Party. In fact, it has. And there are similar movements on the left. It's just those movements tend to get co-opted into one of the two major parties.
Senator Jones, by the way, it seems like the Democrats have more to lose from a third party candidate this year than the Republicans. Do you think that's right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't think there's, if you look at the candidates that are out there, and by the way, none of these people are third parties. We keep talking about third parties, but Robert F. Kennedy is an independent. Cornel West is an independent. They don't have a party. They're just out there on their own with their own egos out there running. So I think that people have to remember that, even though labels is not a party at this point.
Well, and in fact, Cornel West, I think, has represented four parties mm-hmm. since the start of this campaign year. Tolliver, he only got 2.7% of the popular vote in 2000. But a lot of people, as we've talked about, think the candidacy of Ralph Nader made the difference in that incredibly tight election between Gore and Bush.
Yep. The margin in the decisive state of Florida was 537 votes. Nader got almost 100,000 votes in Florida. Here he is railing against America's two-party system in 2000.
Well, they're going to get politics as usual unless they stop staying at home or stop voting for the least of the worst or lesser of two evils, ensuring that every 4 years both parties get worse and you still got evil. The important thing for people to understand is that if they don't want more power to address their grievances, to achieve justice, and to help shape the future of our country for their children and grandchildren, they can go vote for Al Gore or George W. Bush.
Wow, it seems different listening to it now in hindsight. We will be right back in a minute with more of The Middle.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com.
The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at High5Casino.com.
High Five Casino.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just joining us, we are asking you if it is time for a strong, viable third-party option in American politics. You can call us at 844-4MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also reach out to us at listentothemiddle.com. Our guests are former Alabama Senator Doug Jones and political scientist Julia Azari at Marquette University. And let's go to the phones and Noah, who is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Noah, what do you think about a third party this year?
Hey, Jeremy. You know, I'm inclined to agree with a lot of the people who are saying it's time, because it is. You know, we do need some additional choices. However, our current choices are, you know, according to my beliefs and how I see them, someone who, if elected, will do the best they can, listen to the constituents, and try and find a middle ground. And the other option is someone who we're not entirely sure if they will even give up the seat when that second term ends. So when it comes to trying to find a third party option, I'm of the mind, let's do it when we are sure democracy is in a safer position.
Okay, no. Well, thank you very much for that call. And I'm going to go next to John, who's in Boston. John, what do you think? Should there be a strong third party this year?
Thank you, John. Jeremy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. So here's my take on this. I think, and I hope either Doug Jones can answer this or the other guest that
you have. The professor.
But I think, professor, pardon me. But what I would say is that it is time to get rid of the Electoral College. It's the only way you could have true democracy. This is the only civilized nation that we know that you can win the most popular vote and you still can't be the president. It just doesn't make sense. And if anyone votes just to get back at Joe Biden because of the war, it's a win for Donald Trump. It's a vote for Donald Trump. And if you're talking about not getting somebody back into the White House, who, if any one of us were charged with one of, or even alleged to have done one of the things he's done, we wouldn't be able to run for an office. So why it is we want to put someone back in the office in that position. So I think the true democracy is it is time to get rid of the Electoral College.
John, thank you. Professor Azari, I didn't, you know, I have said before that we are going to do a show about the Electoral College. I didn't think it would be this one, but it's definitely coming up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It's definitely an obstacle to a third-party system, although if you look around the world at other presidential systems that have multiple parties, that has its own instability, even when you don't have that intermediary step of the Electoral College. You're then looking at presidents who may have been elected with 30% of the vote. So you're looking at a president who doesn't command an electoral majority, and that can make it challenging for any number of reasons. I think it's an additional impediment. I think there are some strong arguments against the Electoral College, but I think there's kind of an overlap between the two, but they're not exactly the same thing. I could go on more with the Electoral College, but I'll let other people talk.
We'll have you back exactly. for the Electoral College show. Let's go to Jen, who's in St. Louis. Jen, go ahead. What do you think?
Hi, guys. Thank you. I would like to agree it's way past time for a third party with a lot of folks. But again, I am going to say not all votes are created equal. We need to do that first. We need to send the Electoral College by the way of daylight savings time. I mean, if we can add the word RIS to the dictionary, we can certainly make changes that are going to be beneficial for the planet. But for as far as a third party, everybody's saying, like, we need a third party. It's not a new thing. Yes, we have needed something else, right, to choose from. But it's not going to be a third party like the ones I've been seeing cropping up that are all about sunshine and rainbows on their platform, but no specific plans for doing those things. So that's for starters. And second of all, would please no one who does not want Trump elected vote in a third party fashion or a not blue fashion in battleground states or questionable states, because that's going to turn things. If we want to show support on a nationwide level for a viable third party and a great platform that people can meet in the middle on, it is going to have to start locally. And it's definitely not going to be in the battleground state. Yeah. It could happen in a red state. All the people that won the third party could vote that way. You can register in any state you want to, right, as long as you live there and own property or whatever. I mean, let's show that there's support for one by electing third-party candidates locally. I mean, watch Designated Survivor.
Jen, thank you. Thank you for that call. Senator Jones, your thoughts?
No, she's absolutely correct. I mean, look, I don't think anybody should disfavor third parties or even independents across the board when it comes to state and local politics. I think that kind of encourages things. But even if you were to do away with the Electoral College, third parties and independent candidates could still be spoilers unless you have a runoff. And I'm not sure we want a runoff for that. I want to go back real quick, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Y'all mentioned and talked about Ross Perot. I think Ross Perot is a great example where people seem so frustrated with candidates now. And folks forget, in 1992, in the summer, not March, where we are now, Ross Perot actually led in the polling against an incumbent president, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, who was the Democratic nominee. He had like 36-37% of the vote, led all polling. He ends up getting less than 20% of the vote and no electoral votes. That is that's just the basic facts of history, and it's why the two-party system it has evolved from the Electoral College. I really believe it was that chicken and the egg, that the two parties evolved from the Electoral College as much as anything.
Well, Professor Azari, I assume it wasn't just Admiral Stockdale's performance in the debate that led to that. So, like, why do you think Perot was doing so well in the polls and then couldn't make it happen?
I think there's two basic reasons for that. One is something that many of our callers have laid out again and again, which is that when the campaign kicks up and push comes to shove, most people who are going to turn out to vote prefer one of the two major party candidates over the other. And that's why they end up casting their ballot that way. The other is that Perot realized he was going to win, and surprise, Perot himself had a preference for one of the two major party candidates over the other, and briefly dropped out of the race because he was worried he was going to hand it to Bush. So I think campaigns are real, and I think that's part of it. But I think the other piece of this, if I can say one more thing, is going back to the Electoral College, building a kind of broad base of national support for 20%. Is not going to win you any electoral college votes. those votes go to regional type candidates, like the senator brought up George Wallace, and before that Strom Thurmond, Southern candidates running on pro-segregation tickets, and those were the most recent third party candidates to win electoral college votes.
Let's go to Robert, who's in Burlington, Vermont. Robert, what do you think? Should there be a strong third party candidate this year?
Well, there should not this year because of the existential threat that Trump is. But I just want to tell you something. I live in the town and in the state that has the most successful third party in the United States. The Vermont Progressive Party, the mayor-elect of Burlington is a progressive. The lieutenant governor of the state is a progressive. And third parties can work. Sometimes I don't like it when they get elected, but we have it, and it's a good thing. The other thing I want to say about ranked choice voting, it's necessary because of what's called Duverger's Law. People are afraid to vote for their third-party candidate in first-past-the-post voting systems. They're afraid to vote for a third-party candidate because they're afraid that they're going to aid the major right. party candidate that they hate the most to win. But the ranked choice voting that is promoted by Fair Vote and other organizations is flawed in that there have been two elections where they were spoiled, where the ranked choice voting method actually caused a spoiled election. Mm-hmm. One was in Burlington, Vermont in 2009, and the other was more recent in Alaska in August of 2022 when Mary Peltola was first elected. In fact, in Alaska, 87,000 Alaskans voted that Nick Begich was preferred over Mary Peltola. 79,000 voted that Mary Peltola was preferred over Nick Begich.
Yeah.
But who got elected and went to Washington?
Robert, thank you for that. Doug Jones, let me ask you about ranked choice voting. I wonder, you know, would ranked choice voting, do you think, be a good idea? And do you think that it would make it so that the third party candidate wouldn't be a spoiler? Because if they didn't win, their votes would go to the person's second choice there.
Jeremy, we go back. You still got the Electoral College. I don't know how a ranked choice vote would work when you're electing a slate of electors. That's good in local elections, and I think it can work in local elections. I think it can even work in statewide elections, although that's not a perfect system at all. So, look, the fact of the matter is, guys, I think we can have a lot of debates about reforming our electoral system for the election of the president. I think, quite frankly, I wanted the Congress to pass some electoral reform to have some more consistency across the 50 states as opposed to this hodgepodge of the way we elect both the president and as well as statewide offices. Mm-hmm. I think we need that, or congressional office. But that's a different story. We are where we are this year. And this year, I think, is not the year to experiment or to stand on a principle that will end up aiding someone else that you really don't want to see president of the United States.
Let's go to a swing state. I mean, we've heard from a number of swing states this hour, but let's go to Niall, who is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Niall, what do you think?
I think it's a good year for a third party. We've had a number of poor candidates now offered to us by the two parties, and everyone always suggests, well, this isn't the right year. Well, of course, everyone will keep saying that, and it won't change, and certainly anyone that has a tie to the Republican or Democratic Party is going to offer that up. But we have a history of being offered poor candidates, and it's time to change it. I think it's also the right year to change it because we do have a candidate that would be horrible if he won, Trump. But there's also a lot of Republicans that don't want Trump, but they're not interested at all in voting for Biden or the Democrats. And I think this is one year when you could finally say, okay, folks, if this party could, no labels or someone could get organized enough, find the two proper people to go on it. Don't be just loaded with current or former senators, governors, House of Representatives people, so it looks like just another group of the Washington folks lining up to tell us what to do. But
are you going to be voting? Are you going to be voting, Niall, for a third party this year?
Yeah, so I tell you, I did that, and not a third party. You just have to pick your own person. For example, in 2016, I did not like either candidate and wrote in a name. When I asked my brother what he was doing, he wrote in a name. I'm saying there's a lot of that potential again this year, and I think this is a great year for a third party to grab approximately 35% of the vote, and that's all you're going to need because Trump and Biden will each carry about their 30%. It's a chance to finally open up this system that has not served us well.
Okay. Niall, thank you for that. Professor Azaria, I'll take that to you. And let me just ask you as well, if a third party, let's say one of these candidates, you know, Robert F. Kennedy or a No Labels candidate or whatever, if they were to start to get up higher in the polls, wouldn't they have to start really taking positions on all the issues that are dividing everybody else in the country, Ukraine and abortion and everything else? Wouldn't they fall into the same sort of trap as the other parties in terms of they're liked by one side, not by the other?
I mean, that seems likely, right? You don't have to do anything. They could keep running and dodging those issues if they wanted to. But that tends to kind of be the problem when people want to avoid kind of take like a no-label strategy and avoid affiliation with either side, is that people actually do, it turns out, want to hear candidates' positions on issues. And that, I think, is the concern. I like to tell my students politics is about how. And the caller describes, I think, a fair kind of assessment of the situation, that there's some widespread frustration with the candidate options. But why would a third party be able to transcend that? Why are they going to be able to magically find better candidates? And maybe they can and maybe they can't. But I think a lot of people would want to see a pretty clear blueprint of how those candidates will be selected that will be better before they're going to be willing to take that risk, especially when many people, as many of our callers have pointed out, have a strong preference one way or the other for the outcome of this election.
Jeremy, let me say, too.
Yeah.
If the caller does the same thing this year that he did in 2016, he may see the same dang result that he saw in 2016, okay, of who will get elected president of the United States. And I want folks to remember, too, we keep talking about parties. None of these folks are really parties. Even No Labels is not a party. You don't know who is funding them. They don't have to report anything. They're not giving their donors. They're not telling anybody anything. It is not a party. And in fact, they kicked a guy off of the ballot in Arizona who wanted to run under No Labels on a down ballot race, and they kicked him off. They went to court. So this is not really a party. And that goes back to what the professor and others were saying. You got to start and really build a party from the ground up, not the top down.
By the way, Professor, just to be clear, Senator Jones is right that No Labels has not really told us who their donors are at all. They don't have to.
That's right. Yeah. And I think that gets to kind of the much more crucial kind of question here, which is about what parties do. And with all the problems that political parties have, they're built, they have to follow some rules. They have some transparency. You may not like exactly who the Democrats and Republicans coalesce with and stand for, but at least we have a sense, right? We know.
Tolliver, I think we have time for a quiz for our guests.
Quiz time already?
Yes, okay. It is.
Nobody told me there was going to be a quiz.
Well, here we go. It's a pop quiz.
You've studied for this. You're good. Okay. Who's the most successful third-party candidate, a.k.a. got the most popular vote, most percentage? George Wallace, Ross Perot, Teddy Roosevelt, or William Jennings Bryan? Feel free to jump in when you're ready.
Teddy Roosevelt got the most electoral votes. I know that.
They both said Teddy Roosevelt.
They both got it. I thought I was going to get them with this one.
That was in 1912. What year?
1912.
Yes, right. The Bull Moose Party.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well
done.
Great job, guests. And I want to thank my guest, former Alabama Senator Doug Jones. Thank you so much, Senator, for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy. Great
to have you. And Julia Azari, Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. Professor Azari, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
And Tolliver, next week, we are live in Denver, Colorado at Colorado Public Radio for a special On the Road episode.
Yeah, we'll be talking about guns, gun violence, and gun control efforts live in Colorado as we approach the 25th anniversary of the Columbine shooting.
We'll be asking what you think could be done to reduce gun violence in America. You can call us at 844-4MIDDLE to reach out. That is 844-464-3353. Or you can go to listentothemiddle.com. And while you are there, of course, sign up for our weekly newsletter. The Middle is brought to you by Longnook Media, distributed by Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Illinois, and produced by Joanne Jennings, Harrison Patino, John Barth, and Danny Alexander. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Special thanks this hour to Daryl McCullough at WBHM in Birmingham and Jason Reavy at WUWM in Milwaukee. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Haig. We want to thank Nashville Public Radio, iHeartMedia, and the more than 400 public radio stations that are making it possible for people across the country to listen to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Talk to you next week.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.